And at this time, I'm going to ask for Johnny to share our scripture readings this morning from Jeremiah and Leviticus.
Usually, I don't usually do this, but God laid it on my heart. You can stand for the reading of the Lord's word, or you can either sit down, however you want to do it, as long as we get his word. Thank you very much. Jeremiah 2:13, chapter 2, verse 13. My people had committed two sins. They had forsaken me, the spring of the living water, and had dug their own citrus, broken citrus that cannot hold water. And the next one is Leviticus chapter 23, verses 39 and 44. And it read this: So beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you had gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for the seventh day. The first day is the day of rest, and the eighth day also is a day of rest. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the tree and palm frond. Pastor, help me with that. Was that F-R-O-N?
Fronds.
Fronds, our first time I heard it. Leafy branch and polar. And rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generation to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Verse 42, live in the booth for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in the booth. So, verse 43, so your descendant will know that I am the Israelite, live in booth when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Verse 44, so Moses announced to the Israelite the appointed feast of the Lord. This is the Lord's word, and I thank you for listening. Pastor Robert, would you please come up?
Thank you. All right. I want to just start this morning by sharing a little bit. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about some of the feast days that the Jews celebrate. And I wanted just to go over to help you to recognize the fact that as Seventh-day Baptists, we don't feel that we have to observe these in the way that the Jews did. But as Christians, I want us to understand that these feasts all were forerunners. They were patterns of what God was going to do. And that the Messiah has fulfilled so many of these. So that's why I've been sharing this. We belong to the new covenant. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and he established that covenant. And he said, this is a new covenant. And in some translations, it says New Testament in my blood. And he established that there at the last Passover that he celebrated with his disciples. And when he died on the cross, he did the work that we could be redeemed and become his children. So I wanted us to understand that we need to understand the rest of the story. We need to understand that there is something that Jesus had promised the Israelites. The Abrahamic covenant was a promise that God would come and tabernacle with his people. Okay. Tabernacle means to dwell with. I want you to go back for a moment to the mountain. The Israelites had come out. They had just been set free. They come to Mount Sinai. God gave them the Ten Commandments. And you know that Moses took a long time up there. And what did God's people do? They made a golden calf. They made a golden calf. And so Moses comes back down and he is so angry. Because here they were, not willing to wait, but they figured, oh, Moses has been gone for 40 days. He's probably dead. We better come up with a new God. And so they had started off. They start back, and Moses goes back up to the mountain. This is what's interesting. He spends another 40 days up there. But they got it right this time. There were no more golden calves made, all right? Then we see that they start seeing as they built what they called the tent of tabernacle, which means the tent of habitation, the tent of where God lives. And do you remember what happened? This cloud came down as God came down to dwell. And they believed that he dwelled within the Holy of Holies. And they would see this cloud come. So they had this visible format. So I want you to recognize they were understanding God had come to dwell with them. Guys, do you realize that's exactly what God did with you and I? He came to dwell with us. When we accepted him as our Savior and Lord, he came and he said, I take up residence. Not only that, but he says, I need to be king of your life. Not only that, but you need to die to your old self and be raised in the newness of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And each day, we're getting more and more raised and getting more and more newness of Christ in us as we learn to dwell and walk with him. Amen? So, I just want us to go back for a moment because there are some things that are very interesting. And I have some things here on the table that I am going to share with you about. So that was what they were celebrating, was the fact that God was tabernacle with his people. And I want us to recognize we have that as well. But ours is even different because no longer is it out there where they couldn't touch. Remember, God told Moses, don't let the people come to the mountain or they're going to die. Okay? It's no longer that way. He tore the curtain. He opened the Holy of Holies for you and I. And we now can go boldly into his throne. So, I have some strange things up here. And we're going to talk about what is called the lulav. I had to call my niece to find out how to pronounce it, okay? Like I said, this is not something that I know much about. So I've spent a lot of time this week studying. But up here, we actually have three different kinds of palms, okay? And each of them has a different symbolism. And I went to the store yesterday to get this, and the rabbi happened to be the one waiting on me. I didn't know he was a rabbi at the time. And he said, do you know how to put this together? I said, well, I saw it online. And so he proceeded to put it together for me. So, because I had no idea. But this is the container that they take, and it has the three palms in it, different kinds. And we're going to talk about the symbolism of that. This is the esrog. It is a citrusy fruit, and I understand that you can eat it, but it's very hard. I'm not sure how you would eat it and what you would want to do with it. So you can feel this after the service if you're curious. But this is an esrog. And a part of the lulav service, they take these and they use them. And I think it's so beautiful because that's part of this service is they are talking about the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere. And so they do a physical thing to help them to remember that. They wave it three times to the front, three times to the right, three times to the rear, three times to the left, three times up, and three times down. God is everywhere. We're told in Scripture there is nowhere that we can go that he is not present. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So that's part of the lulav service. While that part is going on, though, the priest would also take, and this is one of the things that I found very interesting, Pool of Siloam. Heard of it before?
Yes.
What happened there? Healings. Now, Jesus went to the Pool of Siloam. He found a man laying there. And Jesus said, well, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I'm waiting for the waters to move. Their belief was that an angel would come and stir the waters. And when the waters were stirred, whoever got in there first got their healing. And that's what they believed. So, they understood that pool to have a special symbolism. So, during Sukkot, the priest would go to the Pool of Siloam. He would get water. He would bring it back to the temple. And he would pour it out as a water offering, representing God's being poured out to his people. So I thought that was a beautiful symbolism. Now I want you to think a moment. Jesus said that there are rivers of flowing water. Remember, we read in the beginning of our service about, as we read our call to worship, he said, they will well up in you and flow out of you. That's, again, because when he was talking to the Jewish people, they had this picture in their mind that God was being poured out on his people. So we need to recognize the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost fulfilled that, didn't he? Was poured out. And we as a church need to receive that because he wants to be poured out into our lives and for us then to pour him out as well. Now, I told you that there were some things that these each represent. This esrog represents the heart. What does God say about looking at a person? Does he look at their outside? Remember the story of David when Jesse brought all of his sons in and Samuel thought for sure that the tallest, the biggest, the strongest, the best looking was the one God was going to choose as his anointed. And he said, no, I'm not looking at the outside. I'm looking at the heart. Who you are as a person. And so this represents the heart. Get to the right page here. Okay. Now, we have here a date palm frond. And that's the one in the center. Okay. That's this one that's been actually bound. This is the date palm fronds. And you can... And actually, at the end of... At the end of that, you can, they take that and it is beaten out. And we'll talk about that symbolism another day. But so at the end of the 7 days that they celebrate. So the leafy branches, which is on the far side over there, is the myrtle. And... they have three in their bundles. The three leaves are together in one. And they also take three of them together. Again, as Christians, we understand the three symbolism, that is the totalness of God. He is one God. And they also have the three parts there. Okay? Now, the... one on the other side there is the Arava, and it is based on the scripture from Psalm 68:4, extol him who rides on the clouds. And actually, that is the one that they use to beat on the grounds on the last day of the ceremony. And it's to symbolize victory over our enemies. So those are all go together to make up this symbol of the lulav. All right. Thank you. But one of the major things that we find in Scripture, and as Johnny was reading, did you notice it talked about expressing joy? Guys, we sometimes as Christians forget that we are to have the joy of the Lord. We sing that chorus, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And then we sing it like this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know? That's not saying joy, is it?
That's right.
When we walk out into the world, we should be saying joy. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Marjorie shared. I just love this. She went somewhere this week, and they were having, there was a man that had come in, and he's talking about, this is the day the Lord has made, and he's just bubbly, and she's going, and I'm going, I want to be like that. Guys, we can be like that. We can be like that by keeping our eyes on God. Open the eyes of our heart. Let our heart be filled with Him. Let us remember the joy we have. You know, one of the things that I thank the Lord for, I've had this horrible cough and cold now for 2-3 weeks, somewhere in there. I can't seem to just get rid of it. But it has not made me be depressed. It has not made me take my eyes off of God. And that's what we have to do. Even when we're having those physical struggles, keep your eyes on the Lord. And I know some days when we feel really sick and we don't want to get up out of bed, and so we need to rest, but rest in who? Rest in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Rest in the Lord. So, as we think about the symbolism here, we have Emmanuel, who came to live with us. He came to tabernacle and live with us and live within us. Amen? So that is part of the symbolism, why we should be joyful. And one of the things that I would love to see as a part of the celebration, and I probably will never get to see this, the priests, after their services and after their scripture readings, they take torches and they do a dance, a torch dance. I've never seen a torch dance. I would love to see a torch dance. But it is to express the joy that God has come. And that He is our King. Well, guys, the Jews know that God is going to be their King. They know the Messiah is coming. They just didn't know that He's already been here once. But He's coming again. And when He comes again, it will be forever that we will tabernacle with Him. It will never, ever stop. So I'm looking forward to that day. And I can celebrate the fact, and now, you're not going to catch me going out and living in booths, okay? I'm sorry. But I'm fine with making a tent here. And for us to remember what it is talking about, this should be exciting to us. God wants to live with you and I. So let's learn to live with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we leave this morning, we do not depart Your presence, but we depart this place. Lord, we just ask that we would learn to walk with power and strength. And in Your name, we share all that You have done for us. Amen.